a traditional Ugandan song arranged and played by musicians from the Nile Project, the xylophone player and the drummer were Lawrence Okello and Michael Bazibu. And that edition of World Roots was introduced by Simon Broughton. The producer was Juan Carlos Jaramillo. Just to say, you can listen to the programme again through the Radio 3 website. Also on the website, you'll find a list of songs together with a gallery of photographs relating to the Nile Project.
Catch up with the best of Radio 3 online, including five writers in the essay exploring how an item of clothing features memorably in a work of art.
And it has all been foreshadowed by that weird, unstylish confection of velvet, whalebone and gold braid.
Music inspired by the spirit of the dance from Thursday's Radio 3 Live in Concert.
I have to say, there's nothing quite like watching a Latin American conductor conduct a mambo. There was no shoulder shimmy, but it came close a couple of times. He's coming back out onto the stage.
And the latest opera on 3, Rigoletto, from the Met in New York, all online at bbc.co.uk/radio3.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 on FM. We're on digital radio. You can also listen to us live online. It's just gone 11 o'clock. And time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
The start of Richard Roddy Bennett's Jazz Calendar. I pay tribute to him today with a performance that Jazz Lineup made in 2006, and that will come a little later on. And on our Now is the Time feature, we relook at an album from the past, and in the background you can hear a track from Jean Toussaint's Life I Want. And Kevin Lejarre will join me later on to refocus on that album. Kevin, you feel we should hear this again?
Absolutely. It's a great transatlantic piece of work. A guy from over there who came over here and stayed and has been making some great music ever since.
Right, Kevin, we'll talk a little bit later on, but let's begin with a preview of an album to be released in March by bassist Kyle Eastwood. It's called The View From Here, and this track is a good outing for all the band, with Kyle providing a good groove to play on. This is From Rio to Havana. From Rio to Havana, that track from Carl Eastwood's new release, The View From Here. Carl Eastwood on bass, Andrew McCormick on piano, Graham Blevins on saxophone, Graham Flowers on trumpet, Martin Kane on drums. And The View From Here is released on Jazz Village Records in March. Inspired by the 1965 Freddie Hubbard Blue Note album, Night of the Cuckoos, the all-star US sextet The Cuckoos will be appearing for two nights only at Ronnie Scott's Club on February the 21st and 22nd. The 60s veterans, who are celebrating 5 years together as a band, read like a who's who of the cream of hard bop. They are Billy Harper, Eddie Henderson, George Cables, Cecil McBee and Billy Hart. And they're joined by two younger players, Craig Handy and David Weiss, who says they are playing it like it's fresh and new. Let's hear them play the track Quest. the cookers cooking up some very special music, and I loved the Billy Hart snare skills on the intro and outro of that track called Quest, and that's taken from the CD Believe. And the cookers will be at Ronnie Scott's Club for two nights only. That's February the 21st and 22nd. And this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. As part of BBC Radio 3's forthcoming Baroque Spring, Jazz Lineup will be recording a special edition of the programme at the BBC Studios in Pacific Quay in Glasgow on Saturday the 2nd of March at 7:30. Julian Joseph will be illustrating the genius of Bach as an improviser at the piano, with Professor John Butt at the harpsichord and exploring the music of Vivaldi and Humberto Pascal with the Lighthouse Trio of Tim Garland, Willem Simcop and Asaf Serkis. You're invited to apply for tickets now by going to the BBC Radio 3 homepage and going to Jazz Lineup. It promises to be an invigorating concert, so get clicking now to see the Lighthouse Trio with Julian Joseph and John Butt on Saturday the 2nd of March at 7:30 at the BBC Studios in Pacific Quay, Glasgow, for Jazz Lineup Goes Baroque as part of the BBC Radio 3 Baroque Spring. Get clicking now! Well, let's hear a little vintage Lighthouse from their CD, Lighthouse. This is Space Junk. From the CD Lighthouse, that was Space Junk, played by Gwilym Simcock, Asif Circus and Tim Garland. Well, next up, Jazz Lineup's Now's the Time feature, making its 2013 debut, as I'm joined by Kevin Ajomra to look at an album that perhaps deserves a revisit, and it's music by saxophonist Jean Toussaint. Welcome, Kevin. What's the album this week?
Well, the album is Life I Want, which was recorded in 1995 by this musician who I rather flippantly described as somebody from over there who came over here, which is a bit of a reference to...
From that lovely, nice weather, small island place to the freezing
cold.
Well,
it's what they used to say in that advert for Americans, you know, the people from over there who came over here. And, of course, Jean is from St. Thomas in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But I think for most people, he's been largely defined by this tenure that he had as a sideman working with Art Blakey and mm-hmm. the Jazz Messengers. And he also went to Berkeley, and he's a contemporary of people like Branford Marsalis and Greg Osby. So he was part of that generation of very, very talented musicians who came up in the 80s, went through to do some great work in the 90s. And he moved over here, as you know, ended up teaching at Guildhall.
Yeah, of course, everyone knows him from being in the Art Blakey band. I think he was with them for, I think it was 4 years, was it, in the early 80s? I
mean, that's right.
Wow, what a grounding.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fabulous training, playing with great musicians, and really having that experience of being on the road with one of the great masters of the music. Mm. If you're talking about learning about the essence of swing, you know, what really makes bebop and hard bop cook as music, and how it has all that fire and energy, which you hear on this record. But the great thing is that there are all these other influences as well. It's very funky in places. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious from the track we're about to hear. And also the Caribbean influence is strong as well in several places. So it's a very varied album, I think, stylistically. And if you think about the way it starts with that track, Blue Funk, that kind of transition from the funk, which is really James Brown, to Charlie Parker, with all of the points in between, that kind of sums up the breadth of it, I think, stylistically.
Brilliant. Well, before we talk about the second track, which is a completely different one from the first one, let's hear this funky theme you're talking about with the track Blue Funk. Definitely funky. Blue Funk. With Jean Toussaint, and it's the Now's the Time feature, and we're talking about Jean's album called Life I Want.
back to this tune, which I think we should definitely big up the musicians. Mm. Kyo Brown on guitar, Darren Abraham on drums, great drummer, Wayne Batchelor on bass, on percussion, Nana Sibo, and a very, very important member of the band because he also co-produced a lot of the record, on piano, Jason Rebello.
Mm, of course, yes, very good.
So it's a great lineup.
It's a fantastic lineup. And there's three producers I was looking at. Jason Jean and Tony Remy were also producing there. So fantastic. 12 musicians, big palette of sounds to choose from. And of course, they were bringing their own influences in.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the next track because it's completely different. You're talking about the Calypso thing. Of course, we know he's born in this wonderful St. Thomas.
That's right.
Tell us about the next track.
Well, Island Man, which I suppose that the main thing about it for me is the role of Dennis Rollins on trombone and Cleveland Watkiss on vocals.
Okay, yeah.
It really captures that Caribbean ska reggae flavour to a T. Yet at the same time, you also have something which is very bluesy. What I thought of when I was listening to it, when I went back to it after all these years, let me listen to that tune again, is that it almost seems like Herbie Hancock's Watermelon Man, which is a great piece of Latin music, which I think can easily become a piece of calypso or reggae, sliding into Miles Davis's Jean-Pierre. If you think about that really nice, simple but funky theme that Miles wrote with Jean-Pierre, and you put those two things together, and what's really interesting and very successful is the way that you have these really nice little melodic riffs that are played by the trombone and the saxophone that kind of come in and out of focus in the tune. So it's a really, really nice grooving tune. And then there'll be a lovely little line which will just come out, and that will make you think of Herbie. They'll go back into the main theme, the main groove, and then there'll be another line which will come out which maybe will make you think of Miles or something like that. So it's just the span of influences and the way that he can write lines that are very complex sometimes, and at other times they're just really good little riffs distilled into like three or four notes or something like that.
And it's cheery. I like this one.
Very,
and
very
every
sunny.
Every time I've met Jean Dujardin, I think, I wish I knew you more, because he's such a cheery, sunny disposition. He's a lovely man.
He's a
often
great guy.
Often to be found in Crouch End or Cruchon.
Cruchon,
yeah, walking around Cruchon and looking very jazzy.
Very dapper.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, there's another piece on this album called Crouch End Afternoon.
Cruchon Afternoon, you see, it's all there.
It's a North London record as well as being a London record.
Let's not start on the North-South divide, Kevin. Let's hear Island Man.
Wow, bring a musical this and make it jump and twist and talk about the Island Man. My father, future, I forever plan. Coming all the way from Kingston, with the music on this to make you jump and twist. Yeah, the Island Man. I've a future, I've a plan. Thank you.
track Island Man. Kevin Ajama, lots of different styles, and we were loving that. But interesting that he's put so many different styles on this album. Jean Toussaint's influences, of course, that lovely Caribbean St. Thomas, and Cleveland Walker's doing a great job. But do you think it kind of makes people go, well, what is this album? Is it a jazz album? Is it reggae? Almost too many different styles.
For some people, yes, but I think in this case, the key thing is that the fusion, in inverted commas, if that's the right word, works. In fact, it's not a fusion, it's just all of the influences that you can ascribe to his identity as somebody who's from the Caribbean, who went to the States, and then who came to London. And if you think about that journey...
He got it completely the wrong way around there, didn't he? Should have gone London, States. He's gone backwards.
Well, forwards in the music.
Yeah, okay, yeah, of course.
You know, playing calypso, because I think he started with calypso bands when he was a kid in St. Thomas.
Right.
Going to the source, as it were, playing with Art Blakey, and then coming to London, where you have... Obviously, because of the multicultural nature of the city, you've got lots of different styles coming together anyway. I think that's why it works. It's because it's a lived experience. You know, it's not just somebody who's saying, OK, I fancy a bit of this, I fancy a bit of that.
Yeah, it's a wide snapshot of his life.
It's organic.
His London life.
Yeah.
In the 90s, it seems, talking to saxophonists recently, they sort of saying, oh... Saxophone isn't as fashionable at the moment. But in the 90s, I think a lot of Brecker stuff was influencing people, and you can certainly hear different things in his playing.
Funny you should say that, because certainly in Blue Funk, the track that we were listening to before, and throughout the album, you hear Brecker and the Brecker brothers. There's no doubt
nothing
about
wrong
it.
With
there's absolutely nothing wrong with that as well. That's a component, no doubt. That's part of his culture as well. That's part of his, you know, his experience of engaging with both jazz and funk. It comes together. But I think the fact that he's managed to write in these different styles, yet at the same time there's him as a composer and as a saxophonist at the centre of it, that's why the album works.
Let's talk about the last track you've chosen. It's Grooving at the Hall. So is it a hall?
I don't know if that we'd have to ask Jean, but is that a reference to the Guildhall where he's been teaching, or is it another hall that we... at Carnegie Hall? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a really nice piece built on this very, very strong, quite dark, edgy bass line, which you hear Jason Ribello playing with his left hand in the opening part of the piece. And you've got all these variations coming off that, these subtle modulations throughout the piece. And I think the way that Jean attacks it, because he's playing soprano, and I have to say, I'm more attracted to his soprano sound than his tenor sound. I really like his tenor playing, but there's something about the energy and that kind of piercing quality that he's got in the soprano, which I think really works, because it's very, very energetic. It has a lot of power, yet at the same time, it's very controlled. It doesn't boil over, as it were. You know, I think he's a great soprano player, and it really works on this tune. It starts off with that kind of edgy, menacing bass line, and it gets more Eastern as it goes along. There's a kind of Moroccan flavour that comes in some of the lines later on. And again, it's a great lineup. Nana Sebo on percussion, the role that he plays is very important. Darren Abraham again on drums, and Wayne Batchelor on bass. And it's a great piece of music.
Kevin, before we hear that last piece, how did it do? I mean, it was distributed on New Note. I can see that. And you know, he's a very well-respected, much-admired character on the scene.
I think we should come back to that point that you made earlier about where you put this in the marketplace. Is it jazz? Is it, quote-unquote, world music, African, Caribbean, etc.? It was released on New Note Records, which was the inaugural release of the New Note distribution company. But it was a world circuit production. And the record that he released before that, What Goes Around, was actually on World Circuit. So he was one of the few jazz musicians on what is the landmark world music label, which released Ruben Gonzalez and Ibrahim Ferrer, Buena Vista Social Club, etc. So I think he already had one foot, as it were, in the world music market. And from what I remember at the time, this got very good write-ups. It was very critically acclaimed. And I think it did pretty well because he was bridging a gap, so to speak, between these different markets.
Great. So next time, you're going to give me any clues what the next record is so I can go
Absolutely
away?
Not.
Oh, God,
that's the fun of it.
I've really enjoyed this. Now's the time. Kevin and John, thanks very much. Let's hear Grooving at the Hall. And of course, we were looking at revisiting and celebrating Jean Toussaint's Life I Want.
Thank you.
That was the third track, Groovin' at the Hall, the subject of Now's the Time with Kevin Lejeune, and we were revisiting the album Life I Want by Jean Toussaint, which was out in 1995 on New Note Records, and we found it. I'm sure you will too if you do a little digging. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, and we are online on FM and on DAB. Mirrors is the title of a major suite of music composed by Kenny Wheeler, set to poems by Stevie Smith, Lewis Carroll and W.B. Yeats. Kenny and vocalist Norma Winston, who joins him on this new outing, have been at the forefront of the European jazz scene collectively for the last 5 decades, and they are both much loved and admired by many generations of musicians and fans. We're joining them and making the CD extra special and unique are the London Vocal Project. They're a 24-piece choir directed by Pete Churchill, who's not only a fantastic singer and pianist, but also is now a professor of jazz composition at the Royal Academy of Music, and he runs the choir at Trinity College of Music. Well, as if that wasn't enough, add in the rest of the band, who are Nicky Isles on piano, Mark Lockhart on sax, Steve Watts on double bass and James Madron on drums, and let's hear them all on Lewis Carroll's poem and Kenny Wheeler's composition, Humpty Dumpty.
Spring when moon.
To be released on Edition Records on the 25th of February, that was the opening track Humpty Dumpty from the CD Mirrors, Kenny Wheeler, Norma Winston and the London Vocal Project. Perhaps Jazz on 3 might check that disc out. Incidentally, tomorrow night, check them out when Glasgow Improvisers Orchestra perform two new compositions by high-profile American composers Jim O'Rourke and George Lewis. That's Jazz on 3 tomorrow night. And so to my tribute to Richard Rodney Bennett, who sadly died on Christmas Eve in New York after a short illness. It's difficult to put into words how much he meant to me. He was a friend like no other and my mentor for the last 25 years. A musical genius who was self-effacing, witty, generous and loyal. I was honoured to know and love him and privileged to have worked with him. Jazz Lineup recorded his Jazz Calendar Suite to celebrate his 70th birthday in 2006. The work we're about to hear, Jazz Calendar, was a BBC commission first heard in the 1960s and was later choreographed for the Royal Ballet. Perhaps we mostly know Bennett as a film composer, but his composing talent stretched way beyond that. Jazz Calendar is written for a 13-piece orchestra, and in the BBC archives, the first broadcast of this piece is given as the 9th of May 1964, and it's broadcast on this channel, known then as the Third Programme, in June of the same year. I'm going to play you an extract from Steve Race, who announced the piece on that occasion, and as you will surmise, he didn't seem convinced about Richard writing jazz.
Serious jazz compositions come from two sources, either from jazzmen with ambitious ideas, some people would say with delusions of grandeur even, or from academy-trained composers who are intrigued by jazz, and let's face it, perhaps drawn by its popularity. Well, the results are usually disastrous. Jazz composers don't work well on a broad canvas, and symphonic composers simply don't understand the language of jazz, even if they do pick up a little of its slang. Richard Rodney Bennett comes from what jazzmen call the straight world, but he's young enough to have grown up with a natural feeling for rhythmic music. So the composition you're about to hear is written by a man with a legitimate musical background, but an instinct for jazz, and it's played by the cream of Britain's jazz performers.
The BBC introducing a jazz work to us in 1964. Before performing this work in 2006, we asked Richard Rodney Bennett how this commission came about.
The BBC wanted me to write an extended jazz piece. This was when I was maybe 25, and I was one of the few English, quote, classical musicians who had an experience of jazz. And I think they were expecting something which was fashionably sort of third stream, i.e. experimental between classical and jazz. And I was so enchanted to have the chance to write a real jazz piece for professional musicians. You know, John Dankworth was in the band, that I wrote a big piece, and I've always needed a sort of hook to hang my music on. So I wrote it after the poem, Monday's Child is Fair of Face, Tuesday's Child is Full of Grace, about the days of the week, because it was just a little characterization that suggested moods. John Scott, who's also a composer playing flute, Duncan Lamont, Tony Coe, Ronnie Ross, they were all the major jazz musicians of that time.
Richard Rodney Bennett talking in 2006. And so to the performance of Jazz Calendar, recorded at the Royal Opera House Floral Hall in August of 2006. The wonderful musicians were Mark Lockhart on tenor sax, Andy Panay on flute, Nick Rodwell on alto sax, Mick Foster on baritone sax, Dave Prizeman on trumpet, Sid Gould on trumpet, Roger Montgomery on horn, Mike Hext on trombone, George Wall on tuba, Malcolm Edmondson on piano, Julian Jackson on bass, and Ben Reynolds on drums. The performance was conducted by Julian Joseph. Here is that performance with me reading the poem in between the movements, A Jazz Calendar, composed by Sir Richard Rodney Bennett. Monday's Child is Fair of Face. He starts with a lonesome feel and features the trumpet of Sid Gould and the alto sax of Nick Rodwell. Thank you. Tuesday's Child is full of grace. And the grace in this case is given to Andy Panay on the flute, Mark Lockhart on the tenor sax, and Mike Hext on the trombone.
Thank you. That was Tuesday's Child is Full of Grace, and the grace in that case was given to Andy Benai on the flute. And you also heard Mark Lockhart on the tenor and Mike Hex on the trombone. Wednesday's Child is full of woe, and the woeful feel in this movement is taken by Roger Montgomery on French horn, and he's joined by Mike Hex on trombone and Nick Rodwell on the alto sax. Thursday's Child has far to go, comments the traditional poem. Bennett changed now to 6-4, and on the original recording, Kenny Napper was the bassist from the John Dankworth Band. But here, the line is taken by Julian Jackson. The baritone sax is played by Mick Foster, and the alto sax is Nick Rodwell. Friday's Child is loving and giving. The blues comes to fore and features our pianist Malcolm Edmonston and flautist Andy Panay. Saturday's Child works hard for his living. The The tempo rises slightly, and on the original recording, the drums played by Alan Ganley, today the seat is taken by Ben Reynolds, solos from Mike Hext on trombone, Julian Jackson on bass, and Andy Panayagan on the flute. And the child that is born on the Sabbath day is bonny and blithe and good and gay. A swinging finale to the week with solos from the trumpets of Sid Gould and Dave Prizeman. The piano is played by Malcolm Edmondson and the drums are by Ben Reynolds.
That was A Jazz Calendar, as recorded by Jazz Lineup in 2006 at the Floral Hall of the Royal Opera House. Mark Lockhart, tenor sax, Andy Panay, flute, Nick Rodwell on alto sax, Mick Foster on baritone sax, Dave Prizeman on trumpet, Sid Gould, trumpet, Roger Montgomery on horn, Mike Hext on trombone, George Wall on tuba, Malcolm Edmondson on piano, Julian Jackson on bass, Ben Reynolds on drums, and all conducted by our own Julian Joseph. Remembering Sir Richard Rodney Bennett, much missed and very much loved. Well, that's it for this week. Join me next week for a preview of the first Bristol Jazz and Blues Festival, where Alec Dankworth and Pee Wee Ellis will be telling us about their involvement. And I'll bring you a stunning set from the Marius Nesek Quartet, recorded just a couple of weeks ago at the Southport Jazz on a Winter's Weekend Festival. Until then, from me, Claire Martin, bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Nicola Christie. To start, something rare and wonderful, a full performance of Gounod's sacred oratorio, Mor e Vita, or Death and Life. Unlike his hugely famous opera Faust, which by 1975 had already been staged more than 2,000 times by Paris Opera, Mor e Vita didn't take off, despite its big searing melodies and emotions, which you'll experience soon. The work premiered at our own Birmingham Festival in August 1885, with Queen Victoria in the audience. What they heard in the first of the three parts was a prologue, declaring the terrors of death and the judgment, followed by a Requiem Mass. In our version, the soloists are Barbara Fritterly, Davide Damiani, Lydia Terendi and Zoran Todorovic, and you'll hear the Frankfurt Radio Symphony Orchestra and the Budapest Radio Choir.